And I believe I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning, Rabbi. How are you?
Thank God. And how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Thank you for playing the song.
That's your song. That's definitely your song. It's called Shashasha, the Rabbi Guest, which means the Rabbi is coming, right?
That's right.
That's it?
That's right.
So, Parshat HaShavua.
Yes, so this week's Torah portion is the Torah portion of Vayishlach, which is a fascinating story. So many different mitzvot, so many different lessons to be learned from this Torah portion, so many different concepts that come out of this. It's absolutely incredible. But we learn that Jacob returned to the Holy Land after a 20-year stay in Haran, and he sends angels, emissaries, to Esav, his brother, in hope of reconciliation. Obviously, we know that Esav is no friend of Yaakov anymore. He wants to kill him, as Yaakov stole his blessing from his father. But his messengers report that his brother is on the warpath with 400 armed men, so on and so forth. Jacob prepares for war. He prays, and he sends Esav a large gift. We then see that Jacob and Esav meet, they embrace, they kiss, but part ways. Jacob purchases a plot of land near Shechem, and then Jacob obviously continues journeying on, and Rachel dies while giving birth to her second son Benjamin, and she's buried right now on the roadside grave near Bethlehem. And we learn that Reuben loses his birthright because he interferes with his father's matter of life, so on and so forth. Yaakov arrives in Hebron, so on and so forth. So there's many, many different concepts, different stories that we see from this week's Torah push. Now let's just see. So we see after the many years of separation, Yaakov and Esav, Yaakov sets out with his family to return to his home, and on his way, as we said, he learns that his brother Esav is advancing towards him, determined to kill him. And our sages, the Chachamim, derive from the biblical narrative of this portion that Yaakov prepared for the confrontation with Esav with a three-pronged strategy, which was tribute, prayer, and war. Because Jacob first, he sent lavish gifts to Esav in the hope of calming him down and hopefully making some sort of amends, some sort of peace. And it's brought down, I mean, what he sent wasn't just, you know, $5. These gifts include goats and camels and cows and donkeys. Next, Jacob engaged in a heartfelt prayer, surrendering himself at his faith to God's compassion. And finally, Jacob readies himself and his family for a full-fledged, all-out war with his brother Esav. Now, we know, and we've talked about this many, many times, that the stories in the Torah are not just events that occurred at a certain point in history. They're also reflections of spiritual and emotional episodes that occur constantly in every human being, in every person's heart. You know, we have two aspects, two parts of what we have inside of us. Obviously, we're talking about spiritually. We are a mountain of dust and a vision of God. And the twin brothers, Yaakov and Esav, embody respectively these forces that are within the human person. Because Esau embodies our self-centered, egotistical, and animalistic identity. While Jacob, personifies our spiritual and our idealistic soul. The rivalry between the siblings reflect really the tension and struggle between the two forces in our lives. The struggle between our ego and our humbleness, between our selfish cravings and our noble aspirations spiritually. And none of us are really exempt from this daily confrontation. We're constantly are overwhelmed with, you know, materialistic burdens, with selfish moods, immoral appetites, and the demands of our selfish and beastly consciousness present a threat to quote unquote kill the Jacob that is within us. So how does one deal with it? How does one allow, make sure that the more powerful would be the spiritual force within him? What do we do? And I think the real answer is what Yaakov did over here. We have to employ a three-step program: tribute, prayer, and war.
Yeah.
First of all, we have to grant Esav, which is the animalistic in us, some of our assets. We have to acknowledge that the animal consciousness living within us, and honor its presence by granting it its needs. You know, we have to eat, we have to sleep, we have to exercise. We've got to earn a living and engage in ongoing relationship with the physical world, with people around us. The animal soul deserves to receive a lavish, you know, tribute of us daily. However, how do we ensure that we don't overdo it? How do we guarantee that our daily tribute to animal identity within us will not be the place and the center of everything and everything else falls away? How do we know that? For this, Jacob must engage in prayer. And what is it? Says, rescue me. Jacob prays as Esav approaches. Rescue me from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esav. I'm afraid of him. And there would be no need to fear Esav's influence if we were detached from the Esav in reality. If we were to live spiritual life, we're not worried about Esav. Yet Judaism demands that Esav become our brother, that we engage our bodily and animalistic and animal needs, and that we deal with the physical world and not just close ourselves, lock ourselves in our room, and saying, I have nothing to do with the world. So under these conditions, the only way that we can ensure that Esav does not dominate and control our lives is through prayer. Now, what is prayer? You know, just as there's a time to engage the animal soul and to give what it needs, we need to find time to pray every day, 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever it may be. And if you truly just pray, you know, sometimes you go into a synagogue, and it's like a cemetery. It's quiet.
Yeah.
No one's doing anything. No one's saying anything. Everyone's praying to themselves. Where's the enthusiasm? Where's the excitement of prayer? If we're doing that, then we will not allow that our animalistic soul, our Esav that is in with us, be the dominant force. Yet, if all of this doesn't suffice, we also have to prepare for war. Because some of the urges and the passions of our animal soul cannot be dealt with, through prayer alone. We have to declare war against them. Which means at times, you know, during the day or the night, we're overtaken by a powerful animalistic Esav-like urge that is burning in our heart. At such a moment, there's only one thing to do. We must take our inner ability and punch the impulse in its face and get on with our lives. Which means war is a very nasty thing. But at times is our only hope of survive the onslaught of what's killing us. Now obviously we're talking about from a spiritual perspective. Does that mean I'm going to go take a knife and rip my animalistic, my Esav out of me? No. It means that you're trying to appease it. Give it what it needs. Don't overdo it. You pray to God, and you pray, and you say, please give me the ability to overcome it. Spiritually, get excited. And if that doesn't work, then sometimes you need to go to war, which means you deprive it a little bit. You make it realize that it is not the boss. I am the boss. I am in charge of my spiritual life. And I think that's what Yaakov was teaching us. I think that's something that we as human beings struggle through this every single day. We always have the inner battle. What do we do? How do we do? But let's have something which is called selfless prayer. Let's just pray to God and say, give me the energy. Give me the strength. What do we say? We say every morning, that you return my soul to me. Yeah. Which means you've given me the capability, you've given me the energy, you've given me the power to do it. I just have to come through with it. And I think that is, if we do that, are we going to become saints? Are we going to become all the most righteous? No. But we'll have our head put on the correct way and allowing that everything in our body is going to be equalized, going to be with moderation. No one is saying, don't give anything to your animalistic desires. No! Give! But let us realize, what is your true source? What is your true, what do you really want? And I think that is something that we can really learn from this week's Torah portion.
Yep. Now, Rabbi, Hanukkah is approaching.
We have Hanukkah, which is a little bit more than a week and something away. Sunday a week is going to be the first night of Hanukkah. Sunday, December 22nd, is the first night of Hanukkah. And Chabad of Windsor and the Windsor Jewish Community Center invite everyone, the whole community, to the 10th annual menorah lighting at the Devonshire Mall. The menorah is going to be called the Menorah of a Decade.
Wow, starts unbelievable. At
4:30. Yep. Starts at 4:30. It's near the Old Sears in the Devonshire Mall. There's going to be music, dreidels, crafts for the kids, donuts, fresh latkes, potato pancakes for those who don't know what that is. It's free admission for everyone. Everyone's invited to be there. Mayor Drew Dawkins will be there. Some of the MPs, MPPs are going to be there. So it's going to be a beautiful event. And the menorah this year is going to be made out of the items that we've made the menorah over the last 9 years. So you can drop any of the following off: Legos, coins, toys, mittens and scarves, food cans, pasta. You can drop it off at the Shahr Shemaim. You can drop it off at the JCC. You can drop it off at Chabad. You can bring it to the mall. Yeah. And all of it is then going to be donated to a charity, to a food bank that helps. And I've seen them do a lot. Men United for God Food Bank. And all the proceeds, everything that we get, will be going to them. So I encourage everyone to come, spread the word. It's free of charge for everyone. You don't have to pay. And it's, I think, the most important why I love and I look forward to it is that we can go out in public, especially now that everything is going on in the world. You know, obviously our hearts and emotions, everything are with what happened in Jersey City.
Yeah.
Terrible. It's beyond comprehension that we can go out and be proud of who we are. And Am Yisrael Chai, and I think that's bringing light to the world, and I think that's the message of what Hanukkah is. So I look forward to seeing everyone at the mall December 22nd at 4:30. Come out, support, be proud, and with that, we'll bring in a lot of light into the world.
That's it. And Rabbi, what about services this weekend?
We have services Friday evening, 5 o'clock. Shabbat morning is at 9:30, Sunday is at 8:30, followed by a breakfast. Monday and Thursday at the parents' house at 7:15. A great day to start the morning, and you're out by 8 o'clock, so it's a beautiful day.
That's it. Rabbi, I want to wish you Shabbat Shalom and great weekend. And we
you
are
too,
all
and
waiting
I look forward
for
to talking
next
week.
Yeah, we'll have the Hanukkah show.
Yes, absolutely.
That's it. Thank you again.
All right, be well.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.